This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Today, it's opening day for America's baseball fans, a day full of rituals and excitement. And whether you're on your way to the ballpark or biting your nails at the office, if you're a baseball fan, I suspect you have your own way of marking the event. Call and tell us about your opening day rituals. The number is 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. And as Exhibit A, I give you the case of a certain NPR our host who manages to sneak off every year on opening day to attend the Orioles season opener. However, he also foolishly fails to leave his cell phone at home, and that's why we are now joined by Neil Conan as he awaits the first pitch at Camden Yards. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Lynn, how are you doing? It's a beautiful day for opening day. Let's play one.
Who's throwing the first pitch today for the Orioles?
For the Orioles today, I'm not sure who's going to actually throw out the ceremonial first pitch for the Orioles today. Nick Hoopla here, the opposing team, the Oakland Athletics, is now being introduced and coming down to the field at sun-drenched ballpark with, hey, you couldn't have a nicer day. It's a bit breezy, but in the ballpark itself, it's very, very nice. I have to tell you, I overdressed for this. I never believe what the temperature is going to be. They've set up an archway of orange balloons out in left center field at the entrance from the bullpen, and as every bird fans here knows, the colors of the Baltimore Orioles are orange and black, so that's one of the colors of the Baltimore Orioles. And in just a few minutes, what we'll have is the Orioles being introduced, and they'll run down a long orange carpet to the infield from that entranceway in the left center field fence. And one of the things we're going to find out is what sort of reception is visited upon the new star of the Baltimore Orioles, Sammy Sosa, long the star of the Chicago Cubs, and traded here to the Orioles in midseason. And, of course, one of those ballplayers in the lineup when congressional hearings on steroids were held. Sosa, at least according to some accounts, did not do awfully well in those hearings, being very short with the very careful with his responses. And we'll see what kind of reception he gets. Not only when he trots in on that orange carpet from left center field, but later in the game, after the national anthem, when he makes his signature trot out into right field, holding up the number one and blowing kisses to the fans. Folks in Chicago are used to seeing that, not folks here in Baltimore. But given the number of Sosa jerseys I've seen already here at Oriole Park, it's going to get a big hand here.
Yeah. So, but this new season is opening under the cloud of scandal, but we're not sure yet how much that's going to affect the season.
No, we're not. We don't know at all. A fringe ball player, Alex Sanchez, at the Devil Rays, was named yesterday as the first player to have been found to have tested positive. There's some circumlocution in the language that Major League Baseball issued. I guess that comes as no surprise, but The only conclusion one can come to is he tested positive for anabolic steroids. He's been suspended for 10 games. We've heard an awful lot of big names associated with anabolic steroids over the past few months, and this is a guy nobody's ever heard of. It'd be possible except for a few people in Detroit and a few people in Tampa Bay.
I just heard a big cheer go up, I thought. What was that about?
They're introducing the manager and the coaches of the Baltimore Orioles, so old favorites like the Crow, Terry Crowley, the hitting instructor here at Baltimore, has just been announced a memory of the glory days, the three World Championships that this franchise has managed to put up since moving here from the days where they were the St. Louis Browns back in 1954.
Well, we're going to take some calls now. If you'd like to join our discussion on opening day rituals, Neil Conan, of course, is participating in his opening day ritual by being at Camden Yards and not here in the studio today. But if you would like to share your story with us, the number is 1-800-989-8255. We're going to go to Michelle, and she is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that every year I have a 1975 Red Sox red baseball cap, and I wear that every day on opening day. I don't always get to the ballpark, but I have that on opening day, and I have a one-year-old daughter now, and I got her a Red Sox little onesie. So
1975, of course, the year the Red Sox got a moral victory by winning one of the greatest games in World Series history. When Carlton Fisk watched that ball go fair in Fenway Park, this year, of course, the Red Sox get to celebrate an actual victory. They opened last night against the Yankees.
Yeah, I watched that game. It was quite heartbreaking, that whole series. Oh. But anyway, that's what we do.
All right. Thanks for your call, Michelle.
Thanks. Bye.
Now, Neil, I know you have this tradition of going to Camden Yards, but I'm a little surprised you're not at RFK Stadium awaiting the first game of the Nationals.
Well, one reason for that, Lynn, is that the Nationals are actually opening today in Philadelphia.
They're
playing in Washington until the 14th. They start out on the road, so they're playing. Their game begins in about 20 minutes in the new ballpark in Philadelphia. So everybody's pretty excited about that. That's the other big development today in baseball, that this team that was born as the Montreal Expos and ran out of so many options there was finally brought to Washington, D.C. Now, the last time Washington, D.C. had a baseball team and celebrated an opening day, and again, it's still a week away, but we're going to do it anyway. But the Joy to the World by Three Dog Night was the big song in America, so that'll tell you how long ago it was.
We are talking with Talk of the Nation host Neil Conan, who today is at Camden Yards for the opening day ceremonies there. And we're talking about the baseball season and baseball and any stories you might have about your own opening day rituals or what you're looking forward to in baseball this coming season. Give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And, of course, you can send us an email at totn@npr.org. And we're going to go to Barry now. He's in Minnesota. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, it's time to start rereading Ball 4 by Jim Bouton. And it's his story of having been a baseball phenom in the early 60s with the Yankees, having a lot of trouble with his arm, and thinking he's going to have to bow out of baseball altogether, but discovering the knuckleball. And it's a day-by-day diary of him trying to rediscover how to throw the baseball without tearing up his arm again. And a lot of observations about the world of baseball and the players that he works with day by day along the way. And he got thoroughly chastised, castigated, and outcast for having written this book.
Now, do you read that book every year at this time? Is that what you're saying?
It's time to start it, yeah. And I read like a page or two a day or a day or two a day just to keep it going throughout the
All right, well, that's great. Thanks so much for your call, Barry.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Neil, what are some of your favorite baseball books? Or are there any baseball books that you pick up as the season begins and reread?
Not necessarily that I reread. Some of the my favorite baseball books, I was just thinking about after watching the Bucknell University do so well in the NCAA tournament, I couldn't help but be reminded of The Celebrant, which is a wonderful book about the great Christy Mathewson. It's a novel about Christy Mathewson, but he, of course, was one of the first college graduates ever to play Major League Baseball, and a lot of people believe he may have been one of the best pitchers ever. So that's a wonderful book. Any fans who saw Bucknell do it in the opening round of the NCAA, so I'm going to give that one a chance.
All right, Neil, you've got to tell us what's going on there. We're hearing lots of cheers. What's happening at the Camden Yards?
Everybody is being introduced. The hometown team is being introduced. Miguel Tejada just introduced the former. And that's the cheers for Sammy Sosa. I'll just pick the phone up.
Are you there? Neil? Have we lost you, Neil? All right, I'm going to have to call on the callers now because Neil is gone, and we're going to be talking about opening day rituals. We've got a call from Chris in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Chris, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon. My opening day isn't going to be until August when I go to the first regular season baseball game at RFK Stadium in what, 30 some years. I was a boy when I was at the last one when my beloved and beleaguered Senators lost to the Yankees, forfeited to the Yankees, and we're planning our vacation this summer around a trip back to see the Nationals play.
And I guess, did you already get your tickets? Because I think they're hard to come by, I've been hearing.
A friend of mine has season tickets and has already given me, selling me his set for the three-game homestand against the Dodgers the first week in August.
So have you really held your allegiance to a Washington-based baseball team all these years?
Oh, yeah. Even after I moved to Texas to go to college, I couldn't bring myself to root for the Rangers. And I married a woman from Houston and developed into an Astros fan over the years. But I'd been waiting for real baseball to return to D.C. And it's going to be a great time, and I'm going to especially enjoy going back to RFK for a regular season game. I watched an exhibition game many years ago between Baltimore and the Mets, and it wasn't the same.
So this is a very special season for you, then, I gather. More special than usual?
Yeah, and I've been watching baseball all my life and have some strong allegiances, but I can't get over how excited I am about baseball back in Washington and rooting for the Nationals, and it's amazing how stirred I am about this.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for calling us and sharing that story with us.
Well, thank you for the program, and your guy at Camden's a lucky SOB. He's probably on the clock, too. And a press pass to boot, I'm sure.
We lost him for a moment, but I think he is back on the line. And thanks so much for your call, Chris. And I just want to remind listeners that we are talking about the opening day of the baseball season. We'd love to hear your stories about whatever rituals you have for opening day or what you're hoping to see in this coming season. And we want to remind you that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Neil Conan, are you back now?
I am back, and I have to say that I'm not here on a press pass. I did get free tickets. My friend Ron Shapiro has wonderful seats right on the field, but because of the sound, I've now retreated to the tunnel back into the ballpark here. And nevertheless, I am one lucky SOB. I'll confess to that.
Neil, why do you have to be there every year? Why can't you, listen to the radio, watch TV? Why do you have to be in the stadium?
Because it's rebirth. It's the start of, today. All right, the Yankees and the Red Sox played last night, but opening day, your team, all of its dreams are yet to be. Nobody's disappointed yet. Nobody's given up a home run with two out in the ninth and the tying run on second base. It's eternal hope. It's spring. That's what it is.
All right. Let's go to Brian in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. And thank you for doing this great show on opening day. As Neil just said, it is all about rebirth, and that's what my opening day story is about.
Go ahead.
My father and I have been longtime Angels fans, the formerly California, then Anaheim, and now Los Angeles Angels. And up until 2002, the Angels had never had the chance to win a World Series. So every year on opening day, I call my father and I tell him and remind him that it's opening day and that our Angels have just as much of a chance as any other team in the league, because they have not yet, of course, had the two-out home run in the bottom of the ninth inning to lose the game, as they had for years and years and years.
So this is something, it's a family affair then?
It's a family affair. It's a very special connection that my father and I have. My sister in Montana as well. We have rooted and cheered for this team. Being an Angels fan is sort of like being a Cubs fan on the West Coast. It was years and years of heartbreak.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Brian.
Thank you for the program.
Neil, I want to read you an email. This is a good one from Martha in California. And Martha writes, for baseball's opening day, I tune in the Giants on the KNBR radio, mix up some lemonade, hang up the hammock, turn on the sprinkler, and slam the screen door a few times. Go Giants.
She not only gets to listen to that wonderful game, she gets to listen to the best broadcaster in the business, John Miller, who does the games for the San Francisco Giants, and I've also broadcast for ESPN.
And I know that radio and baseball, both of those are very close to your heart.
Well, I am. Baseball is one of those things. As some listeners know, ran away from radio for a couple of years. Ran away and broadcast for play-by-play for a minor league baseball team. And the hat that I'm wearing today is not the hat for the major league team I root for, the major league team I kind of like, or the major league team I'm flirting with. They're all those three of those teams, but it's the hat of the Aberdeen Arsenal, the team that I broadcast for 1 year and now out of business. But we should remember absent friends opening day.
All right, and let's see if we can get one more call in here. Amy in Aurora, Illinois. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to tell a funny story about opening day when I was a child. I grew up in the Milwaukee area, and every year for opening day, my father, who was both a teacher and a huge baseball fan, would arrange to have the day off and would take me to opening day. He thought it was that important, and he would always write an absence note for me that said, please excuse Amy from school tomorrow so she can attend her aunt's funeral at County Stadium, which, of course, was the baseball stadium for the Milwaukee Brewers when I was a kid. And I thought of it this morning when I heard it was opening day and had to laugh. And
did any of your teachers ever pick up on that?
Oh, they always did, and they would laugh because everybody knew it was opening day, of course, and County Stadium was where the Brewers played. So, yeah, they thought it was funny, and I was always excused, and it was just some great memories with my dad.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Amy.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Now, Neil, you're playing hooky today, but did you ever play hooky as a kid from school to go to opening day?
I don't remember doing that. I did remember snaking the wire for the earpiece of the transistor radio up the sleeve so I could listen to the radio during school. But I don't remember ever sneaking out for opening day. It is a day across America where employers, and not just mine, are pretty indulgent. There's a lot of people calling in sick today.
Have your allegiances changed over the years, by the way, Neil?
No. Born a Yankee fan, still a Yankee fan.
I had to check. I knew you were a New Yorker, but you're there at Camden Yards, so I wasn't quite sure.
Well, this is my buddy team. Again, my friend has tickets to opening day, and this is as close to the American League as I can be today. And, hey, we watched the Yankees last night on TV.
Well, Neil, I want you to have a really good time there today. Enjoy yourself as much as you can. Get a lot of sun. But be back in the office tomorrow, okay?
Okay, Flynn. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Talk of the Nation host Neil Conan enjoying an afternoon of freedom at Camden Yards, Baltimore. He'll return to the chair tomorrow. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.